quite as old as some other people I know.
I don't have to leave.
You want to try again?
What?
But we're going to lose the warning.
Because you really do have to leave?
Yeah.
Unless Billy shows, is he showing?
He showed and left.
We're live.
So?
I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Yay.
Well, don't leave out Miss Kimball because she's right beside me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dueling birthdays. No, please. I'll ask you not.
I have no mic.
We have no sign either, so you have no name, you have no mic.
Is this one working or is it just not, doesn't have a button? Is it working?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. It just doesn't have a mic.
Good morning, everybody. It's 8:11. We'd like to call our meeting to order. We have a quorum. Our first order of business is public comment. Do we have anybody? I don't see anybody other than our famous film, eh? that being said, we have approval of the minutes of our last meeting. We do have a couple of corrections to note. Number one, John Solu was in attendance at that meeting, so he was not absent. And then on page 2 of your minutes, under item C, the last paragraph, the last sentence of that paragraph, the third paragraph, last sentence. I didn't request that the human relate. We get a motion to approve with those corrections?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. Monthly reports. Visitor Center. Ms. Kimball.
Good morning and happy birthday. There's
the old horse has passed away, okay? So quit beating him.
Our 800 number calls continue to come mostly from Southern California, which is where we're focusing our marketing efforts. I would like to point out that we had 14,135 website sessions. This is September's statistics. And as of the 1st of October, we had over 2 million hits. So when we have discussed the verbiage before, we're now able to go back and look at the hits, which we're not reporting. We're reporting the
unique visitors.
Unique visitors, people who are going on the website, who are actually going from page to page and browsing through our materials. So I thought that was something that I'd like to bring to your attention. Just in the month of September, we had 430,000 hits. And if you'll see over on the far right, we've added another group of statistics for your approval. Bulk mailing in September, we did nearly 1,400 mail-outs. We had nearly 2,000 visitors in the visitor center. So that concludes my report, if you have any questions.
Thank you. Budget report. This has gotten really easy. You have one page from the city finance department, which is basically reflects that other than the promotion and advertising, which we'll get a breakdown from John on, we don't have... We haven't had any expenditures, reimbursements to the visitor center, or direct costs yet to the website development and maintenance. And if you look down, this is a pretty easy page to read now, where it just gives you a summary and shows the amount allocated in the expenditures to date. So that's pretty good. And John, do you have, shall we?
Sure. I think you have my...
I had one question, John. You know, I mean, for me, when I was getting financials, is it possible to be able to get this spreadsheet in our packets, your spreadsheet, or
not,
is it?
Probably not. And the reason being is even this month is a good example. I'm guessing on the spreadsheet, although we had a very, very light activity in October. The reality is that we don't really get all of our bills. I mean, again, it would be...
It wouldn't be as timely as it is as if you waited.
Right.
Okay.
Because what you're seeing when I give you these spreadsheets is a pretty mostly what's been, I mean, it is what's been billed. This month is going to be more of a guesstimate because we don't have our bills out. And part of that problem was, or the dynamic of that is that we just had this third Thursday fall earlier in the month than we normally do. You know, normally we're another week out. But what I can try to do is expedite that, but sometimes the advertising really is only one thing, and that's LA Times travel guide that we did. That's the October activity. So there will be some art design. There'll also be some web, but other than that, that's pretty much the activity.
Okay.
And, you know, normally, again, this just sort of reflects on our, you know, our budget cut that we would have been a little more active, but we've, you know, have half less. So we're what
no
we're
money,
trying to
no
do
report.
Is we're trying to shepherd that money toward instead of going every month. You know, we may go every other month with activity, but we did have a pretty heavy activity in September, as you all recall. So that's pretty much the breakdown there, and then I'll have a more accurate picture in the next meeting. But this still okay. brings us up to date. That what it really shows is there's not going to be any dramatic media activity in, for the October as far as budget goes.
Okay, good. Any questions for?
It's hard to. Is there an extra hard copy of it around somewhere?
You can have this one.
Can I just look? It's sure. hard for me to read from.
Typically, because you did this last month, you brought us, you
right.
brought copies. And
right. The reason I did this month was just, I mean, it's only $1,300 and it's
right.
one item, so I figured.
That's fine. Save a tree.
Yeah.
the other item that we could talk about briefly is transient occupancy tax, and you have the reports both for Morro Bay and as well as the San Luis Obispo County year to date. And if you just without going into a lot of detail, if you just take a look, not only are the numbers up every month from last year, but so is our occupancy rates, which is great, which means we've had an increase in people from last year visiting Morro Bay, and it's that was some good news. Because we usually compare our numbers to theirs as far as percentages go.
In fact, I did a quick math on that based on what Ed was suggesting. And we're just for the first 3 months, as Ed pointed out, of this year, it's up about 11% over the previous year. And so I think that's a good indication.
Very good.
And I think it's important to let them people know that who are watching, because the last public exclamation about the total occupancy tax in the city, I guess at the meeting on Monday night, one of the speakers got up. I don't know the gentleman. I think his name is Stan House, and he said that tourism was way down and was crumbling and we couldn't depend on it. No statistics were quoted, and I was waiting for this to come out, and the answer is no, that's absolutely not true, obviously, that tourism is up and the revenue is coming in. So
right.
that is good to know.
Yeah, very good to know. Any other comments, questions on the budget stuff? Okay. We'll be moving. Back to page one, Ed. Okay, advertising agency report. Mr. Sorgenfrei.
Okay, thank you. I just have a couple of ads that I wanted to show you. Our AV man is out there, so I'll move on to the next item.
Here, I'll go ahead. Is this the?
It's actually the magazine ads.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, happy birthday.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
What are we looking at?
The print ads. The magazine ads. Magazine
okay,
ads. The other magazine ad. Yeah, there you go. This is an Audubon, and this is our, to have our ad in there. It's very timely coming up to the Bird Festival. So that's a shared ad, as you see, the end of Morro Bay and Moonstone are some of the partners that shared that with us. And then the next one is Birders World, kind of in the same category. And this is the December issue of Birders World. And as you can see, the main emphasis there is talking about the Winter Bird Festival and then also talking about the what Morro Bay has to offer to the aficionados of bird watching.
Nice picture.
Yeah, I think it's a nice
ad.
We got a little larger, too, so we kind of own that page. So I think it stood out really well.
Good.
The next item I have is there was a call for this would be the graph that you just had up. Where we're at with our database. This is the email newsletter database, and right now we're really very close. We're probably this is actually October's numbers, so we estimate that, that we average around 30, 35 names per month. So we're safe to say that we're over 3,000 now with our email database. And we did email out a newsletter just last week that was similar to what we did, in fact, pretty much exact to what we did with the LA Times newsletter. And we got some feedback that came because our agency is listed as legally you have to put us down as who's sending it out. We got some real favorable emails coming from people saying that they liked it. And I think one of the dynamics of this, and I know, Ed, you've pushed for this, is that they really want to see it more often. And so I think the fact that we're going to do these monthly. Another request was that we sizing about what a great, and I'll pass this around, but what a great time winter is to come to Morro Bay. And we also, at the end there, we talk about the events coming up, the Winter Bird Festival, Lighted Boat Parade, and the Christmas Fair.
Nice.
And that will go out, we can send that out next week, so that'll be our November letter. We'll try to get that out pretty timely so we can still get in for the Christmas Fair, which is the end of the month.
And the Lighted Boat Parade.
Right. Thank you. The next thing I had was, are you set to go live with our website?
Yes.
If you'll click on events and go to calendar. And then if you would, if you go down to the bottom there and click on Christmas Street Fair. And if you'll click on Learn More. So basically what we've done, this has been a request by the committee, is to, we have the pop-up, which we really can't get rid of, which I think is okay anyway, because there are some people that may just want a date. They may want a brief description, but if they want to learn more, they click on Learn More. And then they'll go to a specific page that will have some photographs and some text about what the event
is. That's great.
Good.
That's great, John. That's terrific. And that, I think for we've talked about this for a couple of months, but if the folks watching in, what they have to realize is prior to this, all we...
So you'll need to go to the, back to the calendar and then go up to the top and click on December, or, yeah, November. And then Lighted Boat Parade, and then Learn More. So then we have same page, same type of page for the Lighted Boat Parade with pictures and text. And then one final one, we'll go through all of them. We're kind of going as the months approach, but eventually we'll have these all done.
Live tree?
Yeah, and then actually, if you could go to the Winter Bird Festival the next month. Just click on one of those. So basically, we have our pop-up, and then if you go to Learn More, so then we have a page devoted to that. But what's interesting here is, as Ed mentioned, in some cases with our larger events, they have their own website. So if you go down below there, you click on Morro Bay Annual Winter Bird Festival, then it goes right directly to their page.
John, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why do we need the pop-up? Why can't we just go right to the page?
Well, part of it is that it's the software that we have. I've talked to Jeremy about that, and it's very difficult. It's already been embedded in. I think the pop-up, though, is good in the sense that there will be people that may not want to go to a whole page. They may just be interested in...
Well, they wouldn't know. It's one extra click. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And it's the same redundant information,
right,
only presented in a much nicer manner.
Right. I can check with that, but I know that was... Yeah. Technically, that was an issue.
I like it very much, but I think if we can eliminate it.
Unfortunately,
that.
We're going to find ourselves, depending on how sophisticated and how nice we want this to be, we may find ourselves in a position of having to completely redo the website in order to accommodate.
Well, if it could be done without great difficulty, I think
right.
It would be a good suggestion.
Well, I think we tried, but I'll try again. But I know that it was... I know the pop-up was sort of embedded in there, and it was a difficult thing to get rid of, but I'll check and see and try to get more specific on what the issues are with that.
What are the chances that the next generation of website, when you go, say you clicked on the Bird Festival, in one of those boxes, if you want to click, you could download under, the, say, the picture of the bird or something like that, a bit of 15, 20-second streaming video? Is that possible?
Again, I think that's that next level. We don't have the budget to do that right now, but if that, I would, you know, that's definitely, that's what's being done on some sites.
I think that what should happen, and I know they didn't get a chance to meet this month, but the website committee needs to start putting a wish list together. That would be my first thought of you know, and then John could investigate through the right channels about what, you know, give us some costs and things. And
I am working on, and it's not too difficult, providing the recipients have the right technology, but I'm working on getting our 30-second TV spot placed on there, and that'll just be a QuickTime movie. That's not that difficult. And that could be done right on the, you know, as you go through, you can click on that and view, it'll just be view TV commercial. So that's kind of the one of the things we probably have for you next meeting. The next item I had, I'm moving kind of faster because I know that we got some time constraints, but we talked about doing our to attract to attract the press, both broadcast press as well as print press. And the old days of sending a newsletter along with a picture, they're pretty much gone. Most people want a CD-ROM of photographs that they already have rights cleared that are high resolution that they can use, and then they want some text. Normally, the higher-end publications like a Sunset, they're not going to run our press release. Smaller ones, regional publications, things like that. The nice thing about small publications, they run them sometimes word for word. So what the idea is to create interest in Morro Bay and have writers then respond and want more and come here. And Phil, who everybody I think knows, Phil May, who's a resident of Morro Bay and who owned his own TV production company in Los Angeles in addition to working for Disney for a number of years, is writing the script for us. And Phil, I'm going to let you kind of take it from there. I have copies for everybody, so you can kind of read along with Phil. But I thought it would be good for Phil to kind of take us through this because he's the author. And what I wanted to do is today, this is still pretty rough, but I think it's going to give you a pretty good feel for where we'd like to go with it. And our intention is to make this a really valuable tool, a tool that could be utilized for a number of things, for the press, for when Kim has dignitaries come in. You know, this is something that we could provide to them as well. And Phil, I'll let you kind of take it from there.
Sure. Basically, I thought what I'd do is sort of read the voiceover, and the trick of this is that it's rugged, rocky terrain, and slowly the image achieves the peak of the precipice, then surpasses it, widening to reveal that we're looking back at the town and harbor from above Morro Rock. Now we begin a series of slow dissolves of aerial shots flying over Morro Rock. Each time the chopper crests the top of the rock, there's a new reveal. The tranquil harbor, moored sailboats facing the current, a kite surfer roaring towards us, a sailboat drifting on the horizon. So our orientation is high up, and I think that's the best way to perceive the harbor and the town. Understand the sand spit and the structure of the whole location, which I think is imparts the beauty of the place. So this is the voiceover. That's what we're seeing while we're hearing this. It defines one of California's most beautiful natural harbors and one of the Central Coast's best surfing beaches. It towers over the landscape, majestically jutting some 576 feet into the air. It's a peregrine falcon sanctuary, a lighthouse, and a former holy place. It's nicknamed one of the Nine Sisters, a string of ancient volcanic peaks. But most of all, it's a symbol for the natural beauty of the town that shares its name, Morro Bay. Discover your better nature. Okay, we transition to...
It sounds pretty professional.
Excuse me, Ed, is it your birthday?
Yeah. Forgive him. That sounds great. Wow.
Morro Bay's beautiful natural environment gives rise to countless outdoor activities. The rugged terrain hammocked between the Nine Sisters provide rich adventures, including challenging rock climbing, excellent mountain biking and hiking with rewarding vistas at every turnout. There's a golf course with our spectacular Oceanside Championship course with Pacific views from all 18 holes. Bird count. Two dozen threatened and endangered species live in the Morro Bay watershed, including the peregrine falcon, brant, brown pelican, sea otter, black rail, snowy plover, and the steelhead trout. Learn more about the estuary program. Visit our Museum of Natural History, where you'll find exhibits and activities to interest folks of all ages, with nature walks, lectures, our popular gift shop, and fascinating exhibits. Excuse me. Morro Harbor itself is home to sea otters, sea lions, and seals, and of course, the Great Pacific Whale Migration offers a premier whale-watching opportunity during the season. The harbor is also home to sailing, kayaking, canoeing, fishing, boats with glass bottoms, and boats with electric motors, from long-lining, seagoing, commercial fishing catches to luxurious yachts. You'll find just about every kind of boat there is in Morro Harbor. And at this point, the emphasis here is on how interesting it is for folks, for tourists particularly, to just go walk along and look at all the different boats, the whole regatta of boats, if you will. So there's a brief montage here where we cut to music where we're just looking at all the different boats in the harbor. To the north of Morro Bay, there's a wide open ocean with rugged crashing waves for surfing, boogie boarding, deep sea fishing, paragliding, windsurfing, and the newest sport, wind kiting. A few minutes to the south, you'll discover Montana de Oro, 8,000 acres of oceanic beauty with natural coves and over 5 miles of sandy, unspoiled beach. The sand spit that defines the outer edge of Morro Harbor, unspoiled broad beach vistas that you can enjoy all by yourselves, which I think we can go to too. And then every so often we will be coming into almost like a commercial pitch, because you don't want to just have it be a constant flow of information. So we'll be coming back to a little bit of a pitch. Make your plans to visit now. When you discover Morro Bay, you'll discover more activities, more adventures, and much more fun. And that's a place where we can show the website. And again, this is a dual-pronged piece of video that we're creating here. Yes, for travel writers, but also it could easily convert over to be consumers and visitors who we're appealing to come up and or come down and spend some time with us.
If I may just add, Phil, too, I think that what we were talking about is that if we want to get really precise to the travel writer, it's really easy to do a new voiceover.
It's voiceover. It's just
and,
voiceover.
You know,
it's
at
not
that point,
production.
You could have free versions if you wanted. I mean, you could even specialize it to broadcast-oriented. But for right now, it's basically it works both ways for the consumer as well.
Once you've got it together, it's very easy to manipulate it any way you want for special interest. I mean, the bird section lifts right out, and that becomes the birder piece that we do that we could stream in the next generation of the website, for example. One of the things visitors quickly discover about the nature of Morro Bay is the nature of our hospitality. Here, rooms and suites range from reasonable to outrageous, from elegant oceanside luxury
living.
That is
one change I made. I said to extravagant.
Oh, okay.
That's the only change I made in the script.
Well, I'm wondering, because what he's reading and what we're seeing aren't always the same. I don't know. In trying to follow what Phil's reading, there's been several words that are not what we read when he goes
outside living to cozy bed and breakfast. From elegant oceanside luxury living to cozy bed and breakfast, Morro Bay will make you feel at home. Whatever your taste and budget, with over 900 hotel rooms available, we have one ideally suited to accommodate you. Just as importantly, there's a selection of restaurants to please every palate and every wallet. From gourmet moonlit dinners for two to family fiestas, Morro Bay is home to over 50 restaurants, all of them eager to please. And if you love seafood, you've definitely come to the right place. The water, so I hope I can make it through this. Our hospitality extends to three distinct shopping districts, too. The Embarcadero along the waterfront, our downtown area above the Embarcadero, and North Morro Bay invites you to discover a variety of unique stores and products to please everyone in the family, from rare antiques to the most modern surfing gear. Morro Bay's natural beauty lures artists from all over the world. Here, the surroundings nourish the artistic soul, giving rise to some of the most prestigious art galleries on the Central Coast. You'll find exquisite paintings, sculptures, metalwork, ceramics, and more. Schedule at least a couple of extra hours just to browse the many shops and stores where future family heirlooms are waiting to be discovered. So the idea here is we would push through a painting of a sunset to a photograph of a reel. So we'd go live to a sunset. And we're doing a montage of sunsets, and we're ending with a couple walking on the beach.
When you just a suggestion, when you get around, I'm going to guess you're going to be you'll having this visual of art and whatever you're going to capture. You really need to try to grab Dale's dragonfly as part of that.
Dude, for sharing time away together. Let's see, what have we done? The kiss and silhouette. We fade to black. We fade to black, and we come up. Now. When we come up, we've just had a romantic moment there, so we come up and we've got this kind of traveling music, and we're going through the vineyards, and we're traveling to wine country now. So there's.
Are you going sideways?
With a little bit of sideways happening here, although Miles won't be in this one. the thing is that there's ongoing change in attitude, so it never gets too boring, or we never find ourselves just locked into one tone or one sensibility. We're moving as we go. So each segment has its own feel to it. Do more than discover your better nature. Taste it. California's Central Coast is one of the preeminent wine regions of the world. Just a short drive from Morro Bay, you'll discover over 90 vintners, many with tasting rooms where you can sample gold and silver medal winning vintages. And plan on visiting the nearby Hearst Castle, truly one of the wonders of the modern world, and one of California's most popular tourist attractions, drawing over 1 million visitors a year. If you haven't experienced it lately, it's a must-see. One of the recent highlights includes an IMAX film based on the life of the castle's creator, William Randolph Hearst. Just a little further up the beautiful Highway 1, you'll discover the southern tip of the Big Sur, home to the elephant seals. At certain times of the year, thousands of these remarkable mammals congregate in one of nature's timeless rituals. Throughout the year, Morro Bay hosts special events for visitors with special interests. Here's a brief rundown of our annual activities, and we can treat this in a variety of ways, but what I've just done is enumerate them here. And this is our recap and our kind of our sale. You know why you work, so you can feed your family. You know why you take vacations, so you can feed your soul. Morro Bay is easy to get to, and a great 3 or 4 day stay where you can relax, refresh, and recharge. Can you hear it? Now, what I envision there is we go to a bird and we hear a bird call. Your better nature is calling you, and it's calling you to Morro Bay. Visit our website and discover your better nature.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Again, it's just
very nice.
Draft, and it's eligible for change, but that's the impetus that we'd like to start with.
Thank you, Phil. Yeah, I think that, as Phil said, you know, this is it's our first draft, but I think I wanted to be far enough along till we could get moving on this, and because I think it's going to be real important to, again, cover some of the holes that we're not going to be, you know, able to fill with our media, and I think it's going to be a piece that everybody can be really proud of, and from citizens to council to this group, I mean, to ourselves, and we're really looking forward to doing it. One of the great things about this type of product is that we have a great product to start with. You know, when we turn the cameras on, it's not going to be hard to complement the script with what Morro Bay has to offer. And I think, as Phil mentioned, and one of the things that I think is going to be kind of important is the tone and the pace of this, that we open with some pretty exciting shots, and I think what we want to display to people is that Morro Bay, and I think we did this in the destination guide, there's something for everybody. If you want to come and have the most, and I don't know if those words timely anymore, I have an 11-year-old, I guess I should know, but that. And I think what Phil mentioned with the pace, you know, we'll go from pretty exciting, quick shots, and then all of a sudden we'll kind of slow down, and then we'll pick it back up again. And I think that'll keep the interest. And it'll also represent really what Morro Bay has to offer, and as far as the whole experience and the different events and activities. And a lot of this was gone on what discussions that we've had with the committee, as well as what council had talked about, you know, really emphasizing events, emphasizing our unique selling point, which is wildlife, too. And then, of course, continuing our branding of Discover Your Better Nature.
John, if I could add one thing. Oh, sure. If I could just add one notion, and that is we're trying to get them to extend their stay a little bit, too.
Right.
We're hinting at 3 or 4 days rather than overnight or 2 nights. And I think there's enough to do to sustain that. And this... the power suggestion is terrific. So if they've seen it, if it's in the room even when they're here, well, what about bicycle? What about mountain biking? What about climbing? What about those other things, you know, if they're age appropriate? So
I think the key to that and the word that should be, if you can find a way to incorporate it, is the word destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can kind of sell them on the idea of it, of this being a your destination, you know, and using the word, then now you've created an extended stay of some kind.
Okay.
I think.
But all right.
That's.
There's plenty of words in here. We can add more.
How many minutes does it run when you do a timing for
it's
reading?
What we're shooting for is 7.5.
That's not bad.
What 7.5 does is, if it becomes a infomercial, we can roll it out into half an hour, four segments. That would be half an hour. If we were.
What I'd like to do is, why don't you all email your comments to me? We all have the scripts, and then we can try to incorporate some, you know, those ideas. But I would like to kind of do that pretty, you know, maybe have a deadline of a couple weeks or something like that, or just so we could get moving on it, because I would like to get this produced. And we're coming into some pretty good times, too, as far as, you know, the hills are going to be green, and this thing's going to be kind of a work in progress for shooting, too, because we'll be kind of restricted by availability of certain areas and, like, if going to the museum and those types of things. And we're going to try to incorporate footage that we already have, but the reality is that we haven't shot anything for some time. And
the rocks changed a lot.
Right, right.
So.
But things like, we'll certainly contact the, you know, the Paso vintners and the Solo County vintners if they have footage. I mean, rather than go on reinvent the wheel, we'll try to use something that they have. But we've been kind of through this process before where we think we have a lot of footage or we think we have a lot of pictures, and it turns out we have a lot of the rock. And this is going to call for, just as the destination guy did, to have a lot of different types of shots. But we do have some existing.
And I guess you're casting as well, right? Because if you have people in the museum or people on the beach, you're going to want to be looking for diversity, I would imagine, and both demographics and mm-hmm. age-wise as well, so that it's not so mono-oriented in one particular way.
Do you, because this is a product, I believe the primary goal of this was started out to be something for the media rather than a commercial. Okay, that's what my understanding of what we budgeted for
right.
was, to replace the treasure chest and kind of sort of with a new press kit idea. Commenting on directly to John, you know, I think that we should review this in a subcommittee environment. You know, and I'm not trying to slow down this process, believe me. But I just think that, you know, reviewing that, you know, as well as getting comments on the side from the rest of us mm-hmm. might
sure.
be so.
We could schedule a subcommittee meeting for the next 2 weeks.
We're going to anyway.
We're going to do that,
yeah. So we're going to, you know,
I think
when
what
we
I
get
would
there,
look
so.
For is pretty similar to how we had done the destination guide, because the tone and, you know, and Phil is a real pro. I mean, he knows how to write a script and he knows how to shoot it. But what we're looking for, I think, is, have we left something out? You know, have we not said something properly? And that came from the destination guide. When we finished that process, you know, we started with a piece that needed some things changed. And this script is really, you know, it's a rough draft. I think the tone is there and the theme. And if you like that, I mean, I'd like to keep that consistent. But then I think what we need is, is there something that we need to, you know, that we're leaving out of the activity? Or are we, you know, are we phrasing the hospitality correctly? But I think that the essence of the script, I think, is there. I mean, I think everybody feels that way.
Okay.
I would like, am I on? Can you hear me now? I think that the subcommittee should look at it, because when we did the destination guide, it was really productive in mm-hmm. terms of finding better phrasing.
Right.
Not that nothing's wrong with Phil's phrasing, but we did look at it really closely, and we found things that were a definite improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be a good idea. And this would be the public relations subcommittee.
Yes.
What you're talking about, right? And I have one question on it. Do we call Morro Harbor, or do we call it Morro Bay Harbor?
Or is it Estero Bay, which...
Just a question
maps.
In there. It, just one of those.
But I think those are the kinds
of
things we're looking
things
for. Just the clarifications yeah. that, you know, is it phrased properly?
Well, and then when we start quoting facts and numbers like this does, we
right.
need to verify those with the people who are going to come
mm-hmm.
back later on and go, wrong.
For example, right. First Castle had less than a million visitors for the last 3 years in a row. So if you put that in there, it's one of those factual things that maybe someone would go, you know. So
actually, three-quarters of a million people sound almost more impressive than a million.
Almost a million.
Yeah. Almost a million. Nearly.
Anyway.
A million. You know, but
so, yeah, I mean, that's there you go. I mean, so we're
like that.
But I think, I don't know personally, I think that the direction
is great.
Is great.
Yeah.
So.
Great. That's all I had.
You trying to get rid of me?
No, you said you had to leave at 9:30.
Well, is my watch off?
And as far as the, when you mentioned about models, you know, we don't have budgeted for professionals, so we're going to need a lot of help getting people on.
Oh no! Yeah, I didn't mean budgeting for professionals,
right.
But I meant when the people who do show up in the images you choose have to be representative
right.
In a wide ranging, way. Yeah.
And if you're looking for a voiceover person, I'd be interested.
Well, that
put me on the list.
That's also a question I would have too. Although we had a lovely reading here today, not to make any gender distinctions, but I heard a woman's voice as well, equally possible in something like this. And if I'm not mistaken, Trina, isn't one of the films about the Hearst Castle narrated by the voiceovers by a woman, one of the orientation films?
No. Actually, there's a narrator on the one that's at the IMAX, and then there's two other films that they have, and one of them is narrated by Patty Hearst. We all know.
Oh, that was what I'm mistaken, is the female voiceover, then okay, yeah.
Well, we could get Arnold and and Maria to do the voiceover. We could swap them back and forth. It would lend. Okay, never mind. I just
definitely get attention.
It would. did you want to, or do you think we've already addressed ways to manage the hotel database since you jumped into our new business items anyway?
No, I could talk more about that when we get to that if you want, or I can cover it now.
We already talked about the proposal for the DVD stuff, though, didn't we?
Right.
Okay. Just checking. I was just thinking, you know, you might as well, I don't have a problem with you taking it up, you know,
okay.
Right now if you want to.
Okay.
I know we reviewed what we have, but.
Right. Well, basically, I've been talking with Jeremy and also Stuart, who does a lot of our web work, and it seems like the general consensus is that around $1,200 we could develop a database that would work toward manipulating the order, which is one request, but it would also be if somebody came in and said, I want, and this would actually come, and this may be a need to have either a subcommittee or some direction as far as what we would want category-wise, but if somebody went into that database, they come to the hotel page, and they say, I'd like all hotels that have hot tubs, then that list would be established. Or if they say, I'm looking for, these are just thoughts, and they're not saying this is exactly the way it would be.
Not real good ones yet, but keep going. I'll let you know. No, just
fireplaces.
Okay, now you're there. You're getting.
Or, you know, hotels that are under a certain amount of money, you know, a price range. I mean, it really depends upon what we want. And I'd look to yourself as other, you know, hotel owners as far what would be valuable, what they feel would be valuable to the consumer. But what's going to happen then is that list then manages itself. But what an aspect of this list as well, which is what I think you and I had talked about initially discussing this, was that the hotelier can go in, gets a password, goes in, and can change the special as well. And I think that would be a nice feature, because if you come to, and we could also do that too for a person, for a hotel, but they could come in very easily and say it's second night, you know, 50% off. If they wanted to change that to 25% or wanted to eliminate it, they could actually go in and do it right on the website manage the database that way.
Since we are up, could you click on the lodging for us and maybe we can kind of review what the idea that I wanted to discuss? So right now, the listings for lodging in Morro Bay are in alphabetical order. And all I was initially after was to say, why can't, when a visitor goes in and hits lodging, why can't it be thrown up in a random, you know, rotating type, every time you go in and click on it, a different property comes up. I mean, to the visitor, I don't see that's looking for lodging. If you don't categorize them in some way, then what difference does it make if they're in alphabetical order or not? It wouldn't mean anything to somebody who hasn't been here anyway. I don't know.
Unless they're thinking there's a Days Inn or an Econo. And the chain people looking for chains will know a first letter of something.
If they're looking for the Embarcadero Inn, they're going to know it's an E. You know, or if they're looking for a Sundown, they'll know to go to S.
Right.
And that's what I think the alphabetization does.
Do you think that, I was just wondering if somebody was looking at lodging and they didn't know, and that's they don't have any criteria. Like John said, this software would allow us to have some additional criteria for visitors who were looking for a particular thing, whether it was something on the beach or something on, you know, with, like I said, hot tubs.
Well, I think we get more calls at the visitor center for that. I get calls all the time, and they're asking, can you give me the motel to take pets? Or, as you said, have a hot tub,
right,
or a view, or have fireplaces in the rooms. These are things that questions
right.
that are asked every day.
And that's what this database would do, and I guess that's probably more appropriate, like all hotels with ocean views.
My question then about the rotation thing has actually led into something that may end up even being better to make the rotation issue not necessary.
Right, and actually I should state why this kind of evolved to that, because the reality is if all we want to do is change the order, then I can have my web guy go in, and probably it's going to cost $200 or $300 each time that they go in and just scramble up the order.
You mentioned that, I believe, before.
Right.
That
was but if we wanted to change that out, say, three or four times, now you're up to the cost of just establishing a database, which would do that anyway, and you still have all these other features. So my recommendation, and if you want to, you know, have me move forward with it, I think the rough cost is going to be about, it shouldn't be more than this, it's going to be about $1,200 to establish that database. It'll be a combination of Jeremy's company and my web guy working together, but I also will need some guidance from either a subcommittee or whatever as far as what we want those categories to be. And then what we could do is, before we go live with it, I could come back next meeting and show you kind of what it looks like.
Wouldn't it change the configuration of the lodging page then in order to have drop-down
yes.
menus and those kinds of things?
Mm-hmm. And that's part of what that charge would be, that cost would be, is to set that up.
Well, I don't know how everybody feels, but I think that we ought to take a look at moving forward with this, if that works for everybody. And then maybe you come back next month with some ideas on what that page
right.
initially could look like so that we have some idea of what to put in the drop-down menus.
Okay.
Because that's the subcommittee part that you're...
Right.
I would kind of understand it more if I could kind of see the layout of the page.
Okay.
Or something like that. I don't know if that's...
Sure.
So would you like authorization, or do you want more information before we... I know we have the money in the website development budget to be able to do this.
I would recommend doing it. I think especially if we're hearing comments from the visitor center that... You know, obviously, the same people that are asking those questions are probably coming to the website with the same question. And this way, right now, they've got to scroll down and they've got to search and read each text. If they could go in and say, you know, I want all hotels with ocean views, that's going to be just, again, making it easier for them to find the right place.
So we need a motion then to approve the... expenditure of up to $1,200 to add what do you want to call it, the lodging database
mm-hmm.
to the website. Did you all want to jump on it at one time?
Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve the funding up to $1,200 to develop a lodging database for our webpage.
I'll second that motion.
Any other discussion? More discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Great. That was easy.
Great.
Thank you. Okay, so moving on then back to our monthly reports, we have added a public relations subcommittee report to our main monthly reports. We will probably ultimately add the website subcommittee as also one of the regular monthly reports as we get up and running with that. Before I move on, Bridget, we were I left Monday night, but our bylaws were on the consent agenda. Did they get approved? What was that, our item continued, or was the whole consent calendar?
That item was continued to the next meeting.
Was there discussion?
No.
There wasn't?
It was very late.
It was just late. Okay, thank you. So we'll have to maybe show up in a couple of weeks and see what happens at City Council with our bylaws, because we had a packet in there, and it's not on our... at least from what I see, it's not on our agenda. So,
if I might add, I believe it's tentatively scheduled for the December 12th meeting.
Okay, great.
Am I on? I just have no light, so I can't tell. On the bylaws, I did notice that I thought we had made a particular change, and it was just a wording thing, and it. So I don't know if, do you have the ones that were changed? Approval of?
Here, when we made the motions that's in our minutes to make the changes, as subsequent to that, Bob had emailed me and said, hey, do I have this language right? Uh-huh. And I wrote back to him and I said, as far as I see, yes, you do. And that's exactly what he did end up printing. Now, if there's something wrong with that, then it may have to go back to...
Well, it's not that big a deal. I just remember that we had done in about the third line down, it was its purpose is to increase tourism to Morro Bay through marketing and advertising. And then we had some wordage there, and we said the purpose of the committee shall be to provide. And what I had in my notes was we took out that second the purpose,
right.
And we just put the committee shall.
That's true. I agree with you now that I'm thinking about it. But I also suggest to you that it doesn't really change the meaning of it. Okay. And because everybody in the world has a copy of these and it's been agendized and things, rather than make and kill four more trees to redo two or three words, if that's okay with everybody. I do remember the conversation, though.
I just wanted to bring that up because that was something that we looked at.
Are you comfortable with just leaving it alone then?
I'm fine. I just wanted to bring it up and make a note of it.
Okay. Troublemaker?
I am. But you know me. I'm the editor, I guess.
Okay. So we're fine with the bylaws and stuff. They pretty much, to me, they say what we intended to do.
Yeah, to look good.
Okay. Public Relations Subcommittee Report. Did you guys toss a coin? I know that you were sending out the paragraphs.
I did. I have the paragraph here, so I'll tell you what we did. We had a very brief meeting, and it was called very short notice, and therefore we really apologize to John because we didn't get to notify him of the meeting, and so he wasn't in attendance. But and Ed did note that we probably would have accomplished a lot more, John, had you been there, so we hope next time we'll be able to get you there in time. Discussion centered around formalizing a plan to get the PR information in a timely manner to John Sorgenfrei so that he can keep our visitor center page up to date. And the key word here is a formalized plan, so it'll be a regular plan. It was suggested that on a regularly scheduled timetable, the visitor center contact John with relevant information to be added, deleted, or revised to be put on our webpage. And even if there are no changes, that you should be contacted and told that there are no changes. So that contact is a steady contact in a regularly scheduled manner every single week, whether there's changes or not. The thinking of the committee was that this formalized arrangement for this contact would become a regularly scheduled task for the visitor center, and so things wouldn't slip through, and you would get all the information necessary. So that John would be contacted at least once a week, and additionally, if necessary. And this would ensure that the webpage contains accurate information and up-to-date information. And that's probably the most important thing that we discussed. And so had you been there, you might have had more input to that. But if we could get that. connection from you to the visitor center.
I think we're already doing that. It's not as formalized where it's, you know, a set time, because mm-hmm. I know August has been working with my web designer on, like, just doing the events, you know, and making sure that we're good on that. I think that, like, the news that, you know, if somebody's coming into town that we wouldn't know about, or if there's an activity or an event that's not on the calendar, I mean, those things are really important.
The reason we wanted to have it formalized, though, the reason that we wanted it on their agenda to contact you every week so things wouldn't fall through the cracks, and it would be a standard thing that would happen. I know it's probably going on now, but maybe, you know, okay, oh, I got to call John, or I got to do it tomorrow or the next day.
I think the way to do that is through email, though,
We talked about that.
Right. Email's fine, but the contact
email
has to be
good, because then I can forward it to the person that needs to get it done.
And I think what we talked about was the need to, at least for what we're talking about here, was to bring Kim in and or someone from the visitor center, but preferably Kim initially, to just say, how do we, what's the best way to do this and accomplish this? It was just like in our bylaws, wanting to involve, you know, the director of the visitor center
right.
in our participation with the visitor center and how to word that. I think the same thing holds here
sure.
with that there's going to be communication and we want it formal. That's what we really feel, is that if it's in writing and it's formal, that we can, you know, that it will be consistent, and that, you know, then there's no, you know, I mean, we've already exchanged emails over the bike race, and we're going to talk that's coming, and we've all talked about it, but we haven't got all together to talk about it. So you know, everybody, I know that everybody's trying to jump on this.
Right.
So we need to coordinate that, and I think that that's just an example that if we get this line of communication somehow, you know, formalized when something like this comes up, then we can get in a room real quick and talk about, you know, so that we're not duplicating stuff too.
Right.
You know, I think.
And I do believe that email is probably the best way to handle this. For instance, with the bike race, a number of different entities and individuals have contacted us, wanting us to get involved or more involved. The situation is we are in contact with the people who are doing the bike race, and until they decide where they're going and how they're going to do their bike race, it's very difficult to do anything formally. So the emails that I've sent out are just that. As they progress, we'll progress, but we can't go any faster than the event does, and that's often the way it happens. So email is a really good way of,
I think it's great,
keeping on top of things.
And again, and when you look at these events, I would say thinking that the bike race is coming to town, knowing that you're going to go ahead with the script for the video, because you have these bikers coming through town, and if it's a nice day with a clear blue sky, knowing that, have your cameras stationed right there. There's that sign that says, "Welcome to Morro Bay, population 10,500, north side of town," with the rock south. And the bikers whizzing by in that direction is look at the calendar of events and then figure out where to be if it's footage that you don't have, or if someone else is covering the footage for them, make the phone call and see if they'll give you the rights to use 20, 30 seconds of whatever it is, so get that opportunity in there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we, you know, you put these guys in a room together and start talking about an event, you know, and this is what the creativity you come out of being able to see, you know, basically, to me, even though it's a San Luis Obispo, that's where their destination is for the stage, they're coming right through town. They're coming right through on one through town. And while it's already been discussed that, you know, they're not going to stop for lunch, you know, because they're racing. At the same time, if they're estimating the 40,000 people that they're talking about, guess what? They can't all sleep in San Luis. And that's, you know, I think that that's where, you know, other than the sign, "Don't forget us when you come back," as they're blowing through, you know, that. And I think David's idea of video for that is great, to keep have some file stuff of that.
No, I agree. I think that, you know, very quickly we're going to need to get a shot list together, because, you know, the lighted boat parade is going to be gone and, you know, the different things that are coming up. And we have footage of the lighted boat parade. But, again, you know, I think the last footage I got is like on 3/4, you know. So it's, and you can't find a machine to play that anymore. So, I mean, we have it on other dubs now. But all this stuff is going to look so much better if it's shot, you know, with brand new equipment that's state-of-the-art today. It changes about, as you well know, about every month it becomes obsolete.
We, if anyway, I guess, and what we talked about a little bit earlier was trying to have a subcommittee report or a meeting, a PR subcommittee meeting within the next couple of weeks. One of those items would be to discuss this, the communication between the visitor center and you, and the other was to talk about the DVD and stuff too. So I think that if we can put a meeting together in the next couple of weeks, if sure. Kim in general, are you kind of around for the next couple of weeks? Okay.
Would you want to pick something before the Thanksgiving weekend or just after the Thanksgiving weekend?
I don't know. We're just going to have to do the emails thing and see if we can put it together, because I know I'm going to have to look at my calendar too.
Sure.
But we will go ahead and make a commitment, try to get together the next couple of weeks to get this taken care of.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Hello. Hi. I had a comment about the calendar, and I just wondered, I know we talked about not putting every little thing on the calendar on the website, but, for example, I went on last night just to check some things out, and the November calendar, if you want to pop back to that, would be helpful. There's nothing on it except one event, which is the Merchant Fair, I believe. So I was just thinking if there was a calendar that looked like somebody was coming this week, and they looked at that, and there's just kind of, it's kind of empty, if we could look at just filling in with, you know, the farmer's market or something. That I don't know if that's possible, but just a heads up, if it looks kind of blank, if we had a way of filling it in a little bit here and there. I don't know if that's possible, but that was just my comment. So.
Well, and even putting in possibly like the Thanksgiving holiday. I know that these calendars often look to me superfluous until I needed to make a reservation in April and realized I didn't have my 2006 calendar, and I actually needed the website calendar at Amtrak to find one was a Wednesday that I could travel on. So putting in the, and I didn't know when Easter was, so actually having a calendar that gives you the other events around which you could plan your holiday weekends, I found was helpful.
The regularly scheduled events, I think, should be on that calendar, such as the farmer's market.
Well, again, I think it gets back to,
again, yeah.
Give us the information and we'll put it on there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, because, you know, it's funny, not this farmer's market, but San Luis, I'd have friends come and we'd bring them to that, mm-hmm. and they would say, gosh, how lucky that we were here the one time a year that they have this. You know, no, it happens to be every Thursday. And for a tourist that comes in, that's a highlight, you know, even though we may take it for granted because it's ongoing. For somebody that's going to be here for one time out of the year, that's an event.
Well, and when people are coming, they might just decide to come over for the weekend. They go, hey, I wonder if anything's going on. At least they might see, for example, farmer's market.
Right.
Oh, good. Well, oh, we can go to that. Or, you know, again, not every little event.
Right.
But
no, I think that's a good
that,
point.
You know, strikes the interest. Because that's what I noticed right away was
right.
There's nothing in November.
Well, the thing is, the other thing, though, that I'm just going to make the comment on, and you guys can decide what you want, but there's a whole hell of a lot going on in this county on any given week. And, you know, I think to just limit those events on that calendar to what's going on in Morro Bay is kind of shooting ourselves in the foot with regards to what Phil's comment was with regards to extended stays and making Morro Bay a destination. I just think that, you know, if there's an event going on 4 miles away, you know, or whatever, that we should take advantage of that and
we
let
people
know.
We need to own that. An example is we don't discuss the fact that we have an airport. Morro Bay doesn't have an airport. Well, our airport is 12 miles from Morro Bay, and if you fly to Tokyo, you fly into Narita Airport, which is 65 miles away from Tokyo. So you've got to get in this mindset that we have to own our area. And I really agree. I think, for instance, the Hearst Castle is going to be dressed up for Christmas, and then there's going to be evening tours, and I think those sorts of things should be a part of our calendar as well.
So that seems like that might be something that the website subcommittee can't, or the public relations, however that works, just to make sure that those things are, I know this is a process, so, you know, if we can just encourage that.
For the sake of time, because I have to leave pretty quick and shoot our quorum in the back, I'm wondering if we could forego the review of the ad conversion study this month. And
No.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
That's the only reason you came today, isn't it?
I have a couple things to say about it. And then
let me go. Let me go. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding with you. Let me ask about the webcam status. Is there anything new to talk about really quick on that?
Actually, there is. We are moving forward towards that process. We are looking at different angles for the camera. We noticed that there are some obstructions being on the roof, so we are looking at other possibilities. And, in fact, Steve and I are going to be down there today actually mapping out the process. So we're hoping to have it in very, very quickly here. So we are just trying to get a decent spot to put it in now.
Great.
So
thanks.
Thank you.
And then if we could, we're still in the process since we haven't had our bylaws approved yet anyway by council, and that discussion is going to be taking place. We're working on the goal setting idea for us. I know that the part of the PR, we're all going to have some of these goals or are going to be accomplished by the time we set them. So if we could, we could move that item, continue it to the next meeting if that's okay with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
Okay. And then so that because the web the marketing or the website subcommittee hasn't met yet, then that item on the new business could be continued to the next meeting too, if that's okay. And from that, I believe that leaves review of the advertising conversion study.
So I'm on it, and I have 12 minutes before you have to leave. Well, what I did was I went through this conversion study pretty much page by page by page, and I have to say that, you know, we've done so much in response to this that I came up with a few things that I'd like to either review or just kind of make comments about and maybe just get some updates on. And then I don't know what the committee might like. If we do another conversion study at some point, the criteria is going to be different. Our whole set of circumstances is going to be different. And I wondered if the committee might like just a kind of an overview of the conversion study, kind of what we came out of it with, did we do it, what do we have left, and put that together for the next meeting and then leave it alone and use this for an example for maybe if we were to do one again. You know, there's a lot of information in there. We're starting to get a little outdated on it, or we've passed through that. And so while you kind of think about that, I do have a couple of things. I wanted to get a refreshment from you, Kim. On page 13, we had about the reminder after someone inquires about getting information. And I think you said we're doing that, and I just kind of wanted a refresher about what we're doing.
Depending on how we're contacted, we're recontacting these people. So we have telephone, sending out emails, and also sending out, that's part of our mail out.
Okay. So one of the things was just that people tend to visit within a certain period of time after they request information, and that was our reasoning for doing that, was giving them a little reminder and a thank you, you know, to visit. So we are doing that, and I think that's was a valuable thing that we learned from here. I had a question. If we, on our newsletter, when people sign up on our newsletter, John, do we have any kind of thank you to them for doing that? Do we have any kind of a similar kind of process in terms of a reminder? Or
I'm not sure. I'll have to check with Jeremy on what the software does. If once they sign up, if there's any kind of correspondence back to say, congratulations, you're now on our database, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's fairly sophisticated in that if somebody wants, you know, off, or if we send an email to somebody and it comes back, then they're automatically removed from the list.
Mm-hmm.
But I could check with him and see if there's some sort of trigger, you know, that once they sign up, that it comes back to say thank you for signing up.
Thank you for signing up. We hope you choose to visit Morro Bay or something. I mean, I think it's a valuable thing. We don't have a way to kind of review if it's working or not, but I think that, you know, knowing that some people are going to visit that site and maybe get sign up for the newsletter, but it might be 3 weeks before they, or a month before they get a newsletter,
right.
Can we kind of give them a little boost? So
Bob's signing up right now to find out if he... He's finding out if he's going to get thanked
exactly.
or not.
One thing I did last night was I just wanted to go to the next page, and so I didn't put any information in. I'm already on it. So when I just submitted, it said, oh, we know you're already signed up. So that was nice because it let me know I had already done that, and it was just kind of a good
thing. I would imagine that it would be pretty easy to add that feature if it's not on there now to say, you know,
there's what you get.
Thank you.
This is the response once you actually sign up.
Okay. It's not it's immediate.
Right.
But that's just what you get.
It's basically more of a confirmation that it went through.
Right.
It's not really a...
Okay.
But I'll check with him and see.
And the follow-up emails would be indeed the newsletter.
The newsletter.
Yeah, I mean, for, you know, them to... I mean, until you opt out every month or now, you're going to get a newsletter from us, and that's what you signed up for. So
we hadn't done it every month, so that was
right.
kind of my concern was now that we're doing it on a monthly basis, I think that'll be fine. But before that, it was like 3 months.
Well, you know what would be nice is if, and again, I don't know how detailed this would be, if there's a great expense involved, probably not. But when somebody signs up, if they could get the last newsletter, that would be probably the best because then – you know, the minute you sign up, you get the newsletter, whichever one's in the queue. That would be probably, I mean, I would appreciate that. If I signed up for a newsletter and then 24 hours later I got one, that would alleviate the problem of even waiting like 3 weeks.
Well, the idea is that we convert people from looking to
right.
coming. And
right.
that's kind of the deal.
That's a good idea, John.
Yeah, I think that'd
I'll
be great.
I'll check with him on that.
And on page 40, we had about referrals, and it mentioned that 80% of the people who responded to our survey recommended Morro Bay to someone else. And so I did notice on our email that we just got that at the top it says, if you'd like to refer this to a friend. So I was really glad to see that because I think that's important. If 80% of the people are going to tell someone else about it, maybe they'll forward that email. And I think that that's a good, to me, that's, I think that's a real valid thing that we should put emphasis on. So maybe even the web committee might even work on more ways to encourage people to refer to another person. I don't think we need to get into get this for referring a friend and all of that,
right.
but just as a general, can you leave that up, by the way?
This is the postcard.
Yeah, this actually is a different thing, but I had a real quick comment. Can you go down to the third picture on the left? That's a reverse image, John, by the way. That one on the left. No, third on the left.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just no, third down. I'm sorry. Left, third row. There you go. That one. It's just a reverse image. Just a thought.
Backwards.
Backwards, yeah. I noticed that. So I noticed these things. And I wondered if on the, maybe it's just something to work on when on the site, that we do the same thing. If we get to the site, you know, refer this site to a friend, maybe there's just some way we can look at that. And because I think it's a real valid thing, that the referral concept.
I think we've seen that with the, and that's, it's pretty rewarding when you see the numbers that when we sent out the LATimes.com emails, I forgot what the exact number was, but I think we had 40 or 50 people decided once they got that newsletter they liked it well enough that they sent it to 50 other people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's so easy to do now, and people are doing more and more of that I think that's a good thing to look into.
Mm-hmm. Just to incorporate it in our, as we progress, to make sure that we're covering that. And let's see. So one of the things, so I don't know. You know, I think that we could use some of the information that we had in this to maybe incorporate into our goals. So anyway, those are some of the things that I had questions on. Our conversion rate is what we were looking at, and that would be something, I don't know how specific we can get with that, but if we ever did another conversion study, it would be really nice to see that conversion rate had increased. And so in any case, I don't know if the committee would like. I would be willing to go through this and just kind of do a condensed version of some of the things that came out of it and some of the things that we might want to look forward to or put into our goals. And other than that, I think we've really covered quite
valuable.
And also, when we got the report, remember, there were a number of those suggestions that we were already in the process of doing. So that should be taken into consideration, too.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, some things are going to be, if we ever did another one, too, is, for example, two-thirds of the respondents to that survey, or that we contacted, had already visited Morro Bay before they ever even requested information. And they were requesting information directly from the chamber. Now we have really a different situation because we have this great website, and a lot of people are going directly, or they're, you know, they may not have visited before, and so there's going to be some different factors if we ever did this again. But
I think that's a good point, though, and there's it's really difficult because you have to start with something to get the list of people to communicate mm-hmm. with. And I'm not saying that the survey is flawed, because it's not flawed if you take that into consideration, but I've always thought that the survey has to be taken for what it is, and that is that we're talking to people who, you know, have communicated with us already.
Right.
You know, it'd be wonderful to have a focus group, and I don't think this is in the cards this year, but set some point to talk to people who don't know about us, you know, or who have come here for the first time and what they thought, you know. Because the conversion study is exactly that. You know, it was how do you get these people to come back again, who they've already come. But it would be real interesting, you know.
Actually, it wasn't. It was to find out of the people who responded to our print ads in all our different publications. And, right.
And then only 35% of that whole group came after they got information. So, there, you know, there's some things to learn out of it. And one of the things in the conversion study was that about 60% of the respondents had gone to original sources, or what they call individual sources, which is the phone, the website, or email. And so now that's going to be probably quite a bit higher. Mm-hmm. So I would be willing to look at that and just go through and kind of condense it and come up with just some things, and then maybe we can set that aside and have as a referral tool for another time or
great.
To work on.
So. Also, Trina made a note here to ask the VCB if they intend to do another conversion study anytime soon, just out of the, you know, mm-hmm. for the sake of it, because that's what allowed us the money, the ability financially okay. to do it the last time. And while okay. it wasn't a perfect thing, and we had some issues when it was said and done with the company themselves, it was still, you know, just an extremely big savings to us, because I think the initial bill was like $20,000, and we ended up spending $9,200, I think, to do ours, and that's because we were able to piggyback. So I think for us to budget doing it by ourselves might cost quite a bit of money.
Also, you're going to be able to get some information. In June, the Chamber of Commerce is sponsoring an economic outlook with UCSB and Cal Poly. The one for the county actually is tomorrow morning at the PAC at Cal Poly. And Bill Watkins, who will be presenting there, will be also presenting ours here for the city. And I have provided him not only with Blean some information from that, I believe, for direction as well.
Great.
And that actually kind of brings up a point. Our surveys that we've been putting out or handing out, do we want to report on that? Do we have a deadline? I can't remember what we decided on that.
Well, we were going to try to have the thing done through, or initially through summer, and then but we haven't had enough respondents to the survey yet to okay. you know, get any results out. And okay. the other thing we're going to try to do, and I know that we haven't done this yet, is disseminate that survey throughout the lodging community okay. to get some of the folks in the hotels that are here that may not go to the visitor center to also complete the survey. So
do you think we should have it on the agenda for next meeting to kind of update us on where we're at with that, or what we need to do to make that a valid thing? Because I don't want it to just languish if we're putting it out there.
Well, one of the issues is if we're going to provide a survey to the 900 rooms that we have, or almost 900 rooms, to the lodging industry, there's costs involved. You know, how are we going to recapture those costs, and who's responsible for that? And so there's an issue with, we have the survey at the chamber, we give it out at the visitor center, but if we're going to provide volumes of it for the motel rooms, you know, those 900 rooms, that's just for the one night. You know, there has to be a number of them provided so that they could be in the room for a length of time. So it's not just that easy.
We don't have to go out to all 900 rooms. We just need a sampling from the lodging area, and then within that, from different segments, you know, maybe, you know, just different price ranges, you know, in hotels, so we can find out if there's any correlation between a guest that stays at a Days Inn versus a guest that stays at the Inn at Morro Bay.
Well, and I think we were also going to be really working on what that prize was and when to get it and all of that. So if we could just put that on the agenda, it'd be great.
Okay. I bet Bridget can do that and has.
So I'll be happy to do this thing okay. And have the report for you next time.
Thank you. Anything else? We're done. We get a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Can we get a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.